Hello, hello, and welcome back to this week's episode of Generation Slay, the podcast where we interview the wonderful Gen Zers who are absolutely killing it in their industries. Everyone from creators to innovators to entrepreneurs. I mean, truly, we try our best at least to have it all. I am your host, Emma Havagorst. I am a senior at Fordham University. I am a community manager. I am desperately trying to network so that I eventually have a job in May when I graduate. That's basically all you need to know about me this week, folks. I'm a little bit of a stress ball, but you know what? It is what it is. It is what it is. And lucky for me, I have this wonderful job I've created for myself where I get to interview wonderful, absolutely amazing, awe-inspiring Gen Zers, people who I'd like to consider my peers. I'm not on the same level as them, but you know, I get to chat with them, so I get to pretend for a hot minute. And this week's episode is such a good one. We, one, get to have our wonderful former host, Gianluca Russo. Shout out to him. He is in the interview as well, so you'll get to hear his wonderful little voice with his wonderful little questions. And we get the wonderful, wonderful chance to chat with Abby Harrison, otherwise known as Astronaut Abby. She's the founder of the Mars Generation, which is a nonprofit for young people encouraging education in STEM. She is everything. Let's get started.
Well, thank you so much for coming on and speaking with us today. We're so excited to have you on, especially because this is the first time that we've had a guest on who specializes, you know, in space and in STEM and in the science field. So we're so excited to have this conversation with you and get to learn more about you and the work that you've done.
Yeah, well, thank you for having me. I think it's a really great connection to make.
Yeah, definitely. And so then to start off, we would just love to know a little more about your background, how you first got into space and how you first got into, your role now and all that you've created.
So I've been interested in space for my entire life. It's one of my earliest memories is being maybe 4 or 5 years old. And I remember standing outside at night, looking up at the night sky and just being filled with this sense of wonder and awe and having so many questions about what was out there in space. And that's actually what really drew me to space exploration and astronomy was the unknown, the fact that for so many questions that we ask about these topics, we don't have an answer. And to me, that was a really compelling reason to stay interested in space and then eventually to pursue it as a career was the fact that there is so much left to discover and that as a famous science fiction put it, it's the final frontier. It really is one of those places where we can make a huge impact and explore a lot. And so that was something that I was interested in from an early age. And as I got older, that interest and wonder for space just kept growing and it got stronger and stronger. And it was something that drove me to continue to pursue an education and a career in the space industry.
Yeah, I mean, it's not surprising, but also kind of amazing that you were able to turn this like childhood passion and wonder into such a real career and develop it so thoroughly. And kind of on that note, I'd love to hear more from you about your nonprofit, the Mars Generation, kind of how you started it, the goals, what current projects you're working on with that in mind.
Absolutely. So I founded my nonprofit 4 years ago, but the story behind it goes a little farther back than that. Like I said before, I've always been really interested and passionate about space. And it turns out that I was living, or I am living, in a golden age where you have the ability to share the things that you're interested with people around the world through technology and especially through social media. And so that's exactly what I did. When I was 13 years old, my mom helped me to set up a Twitter profile where I was trying to reach out to people in the space industry because I was trying to get, actually, it sounds silly now, but I was looking for a quote for a school project that I was doing. I was trying to find a primary source of someone who worked in the industry. And while I was trying to reach out to these people, I was also talking a little bit about what my goals and dreams were of someday becoming an astronaut and eventually the first person to walk on Mars. And people on Twitter just became so excited about that and were really excited and passionate about the fact that there was someone from my generation who was interested in space travel and who was out there talking about it. And so I kept, even after the school project was over, I kept utilizing my social media to try and talk more about my dreams and to raise interest about space exploration. And then when I was 15 years old, I was asked to work with an astronaut on the International Space Station as his Earth liaison. So sharing his experiences in space with people here on Earth in a different and kind of more personal way than he could. And so I spent 6 months working with him. I traveled to Baikonur to watch his launch and shared all of that. And then afterwards spent 6 months doing outreach, both in person in classrooms and at events and online through digital and social media. And then after that ended, I kept doing space and STEM, so science, tech, engineering, and math outreach, a lot of it through social media. And over the years, that grew into something that was just massive. I had over 1 million followers on social media, and I decided that it was time to transition that into something that was more concrete and that was more sustainable over the long term. So during my first month in college, I went ahead and I founded a nonprofit called the Mars Generation, along with a board of incredibly supportive people in all industries, not just in the space industry. So we have teachers and we have other educators and people in publishing and all kinds of areas who are supporting this. And so I founded this nonprofit and it just it really took off and it grew. And so now we're in our fourth year where we are doing lots of things, but one of our big ones that we do every year is we offer scholarships to students living at or below the national poverty line to go to space camp. So right now those are open for applications. So I would recommend, and really anyone who's listening who thinks that they might be interested in that or knows someone who they think would benefit from going to space camp, feel free to head on over to themarsgeneration.org and you can find a ton more information about our space camp and our other programs there as well.
That's so cool to hear kind of how where the Mars Generation really started and to see how far it's come to now becoming such, you know, a big group with such great initiatives, like you just said, sending people to space camp, which can be so impactful, especially to people who don't have those opportunities readily available to them. And something that you mentioned that you've been very open about and in public about is the fact that your goal is to be the first person to go to Mars. And so tell me a little about that. Do you see that as, you know, being a possible thing in our generation for Gen Z to achieve, and kind of how are you working towards that in the work that you do?
Absolutely. I think that Gen Z has such a high likelihood of going to Mars that I actually decided to name my nonprofit the Mars Generation, because I think that encapsulates how we will look back on this time period and how the future, how historians and future generations will see our generation, that I think the label, the Mars Generation, fits, because I look at it with such a high level of reality or probability, just based on the way that we're advancing in science and technology right now. We're making incredible leaps and strides, and when you view the direction that space exploration is headed in right now, I find it to be very realistic. It's no longer something that we say we're going to Mars and it sounds like it's something out of science fiction. When we talk about going to Mars now, it's backed up by concrete technological advancement that is in production right now, both through NASA, through other organizations like the European Space Agency, and also with the start of private industry space exploration. That's been a huge boon to our ability to go farther. So I think that it's something that's very realistic, that will happen within our lifetime, within Generation Z. I like to put out there that I hope to be the first person to walk on Mars, and that has been my goal for pretty much my entire life. But I also know that that is a one in a billion type of goal. That's a thing that you can work towards your entire life, and you can do everything right, and it still might not happen. It's the epitome of a stretch goal. And so the way I look at it is twofold, that I am aspiring towards that and I'm doing everything in my power to make it happen. But on the other hand, the other side of that is that I want to at the same time be making sure that the things that I do, the way that I impact my community and my world, enables it so that not only I someday could go to Mars, but so that someone in our generation can go to Mars. So whether or not it ends up being me, I hope that the actions that I take as I try to make that true enable it so that the Mars generation or Generation Z can accomplish this great task.
I mean, after that, I have no doubt that it will happen. You have so much more knowledge in this than I do, but it's so incredibly impressive to hear you speak about all the potential that our generation holds and how future generations will look back at us. And I think that's a really, really strong point to make, and it's really, really valuable. But I kind of want to bring you back to something you said earlier about when you started the Mars Generation. You said you started it the first month of college?
Yes.
One, why was that the time to start a nonprofit for you? And two, how did you balance starting school, which I believe you got a double major at, and running a whole nonprofit? Like, how did you get all that done?
I know it sounds kind of crazy because it seems like that first month of college, it's so busy and it's so hectic and such a transition. And so I decided to throw something extra on there. But that's actually just the way that the timing ended up working out, was that as I was making this transition in my life, I was moving from being a kid living at home, basically, who was doing this in my spare time, to transitioning into an adult, stepping out into the world for the first time, going to college. That's actually a big part of what pushed me to form the nonprofit, was that I wanted to formalize what I was doing more. I wanted to put it into more of a structure and to create something where I could get more support from other people and involve more people in it, in the work that I was doing. And so I founded the nonprofit as a way to almost take some of that off of my shoulders so that I could pass that along a little bit, to leave a little bit more time for me to be in college. At least that's what I thought I was doing at first, but it turns out that nonprofits are more work than they look like. So it was originally something that I started at that time period because it was a transition in my life, and I was hoping to make that a transition with the educational outreach work I'd been doing. I'm still super involved in the nonprofit, obviously, and that is something that throughout college, like you said, was a huge balancing act, where I was running this nonprofit and doing the influencing work for it at the same time that I was a college student and was working in labs and was doing athletics and all of those other things. And I definitely didn't handle it perfectly throughout my entire college career. There were a lot of curves that I had to learn along the way. A lot of things that got thrown at me with that, where I had to make my own mistakes with that. And so, but one thing that I did learn was that what it comes down to is that no one can do everything. And that the two things I learned that were most important to manage all of these things together was delegating. So reaching out to other people when you need help with something and realizing that because you can't do everything, sometimes that means passing it on to someone else. And then the other thing that I really learned from this was, again, on the same lines of you can't do everything, was that you have to make hard choices sometimes. And so for me, what that looked like was that sometimes I sacrificed things with the nonprofit for my schoolwork, and sometimes I had to sacrifice the opportunity to perhaps get a better grade in classes or to be more present in something because I had this other thing that I was devoting my attention to. So yeah, I don't know if that answers the question or not, but that was my process as I was going through college in this kind of dual role, was just learning the entire way.
Yeah, definitely. And so then obviously balance was a big thing that you needed to learn and achieve here while balancing both school and the nonprofit. But as a young person starting this organization, what were some of the kind of more challenging aspects of launching your own nonprofit, or things that kind of shocked you about the difficulties of that, that you were kind of thrown off by and had to work your way through?
I think it really was mostly and largely the time management was the big one that I learned, which is that when you found something, whether it's a nonprofit or a business or anything, it turns out that there are so many intricacies to it. There are so many nooks and crannies that you have to take on. So things like taxes for nonprofits are entirely different. Communications and producing materials and content and organizing volunteers and raising funds and all of these different areas that you don't necessarily think about fully when you're first starting something, because I didn't have experience in these fields. And so I don't want to say I went into it blind, but I definitely didn't understand all of the nooks and crannies of what it meant to run a nonprofit and how many different things, different sets of skills are involved in making something successful, especially when you're a nonprofit like the Barnes Generation, which is completely volunteer driven. That's a huge, very varied undertaking. And so for me, it was time management, to carve out time as a student to learn all of those things, and then also to be able to implement them. So to be able to find the time either myself or find people who could help with those things, that was the big task in college for me.
Yeah, and I mean, talking about time management, you kind of actually jumped into our next question, which is, what advice can you give to fellow young people within Gen Z or kids who are a little younger about, you know, getting into STEM, who are interested in space and space exploration? For those kids, what advice can you give them?
My greatest piece of advice would be to try a really diverse set of things and to not be afraid of failure. So to not be afraid of trying something and being bad at it or failing at it, because what I've found in my own experience, as well as countless people that I've talked to and worked with, is that we gain so much more from our failures than we actually lose from them. And that being open to a really broad range of subjects and experiences can be one of the most impactful and helpful things that you can do for your future. So that means to be really cautious, especially for young people who are maybe starting down their educational or career paths, to be focused and dedicated, but also really conscious of not pigeonholing yourself into any one thing. So one of the ways that I look at that is that growing up, my mom, who's a huge influence for me, always told my sister and I to never turn off math. She always told us, no matter what field you think you're going into or what you're interested in at the time, continue to study math and continue to be focused on that. Because no matter what, that's something that will help you in your future in any field. And that's how I look at a lot of things now, is that not only math, but also things like the arts or things like public speaking or engineering or anything really that you look at. It's important to have a basic understanding of it and to make sure that you are capable of trying those things at least. So I would say, yeah, that's the best advice I can give for young people, is to be open to trying a really diverse and maybe unexpected set of classes or experiences.
That's really great advice, because, you know, a lot of times you'll see kids in high school or middle school or even college say, like, why do I need math or why do I need science if those aren't applicable to their industries or careers? But it is really smart to know that those qualities are going to benefit you no matter what you do, and you'll learn skills there that you can apply to anything. And so that's really smart to know that and be conscious of that.
Absolutely. Thank you. And I think that the flip side that I always like to try and really emphasize when I talk about this is that it is vitally important. Yes, it's vitally important that everyone, especially young people, recognize how important math and science are, and that those fields and skills will help you in the future. But that on the flip side of that, it is also just as important for people who are going into math or science or other STEM fields to recognize and to value how important arts will be for them, and to make sure that they have exposure and experience in the humanities and the art fields as well, because I think that without the humanities,
just to wrap
STEM
up for
suffers,
everyone listening,
we lose creativity,
thank you,
we lose the ability
so much
to
again
that
we'll
the public,
see you next week on your podcast platform of choice.
So,
please subscribe.
I would say that it goes
preferably five star
ways,
review, because
if you're
my ego
going
is
into
very
a
big
arts career, you should
and
remember
I need
to
the validation.
Still
and
commit yourself
we'll see you next
to
week.
Other
thank
skills
you so much.
Like math especially. And if you're going into a STEM career, it's important to remember to still try and get some exposure to arts. I'm a big fan of the concept of liberal arts, so trying to mix the two.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Amazing. Well, that is all the time we have today. So thank you so much for taking the time to come on and speak with us and share more about your story.
Fantastic. Yeah, thank you for having me on. It was a pleasure. Once again, if anyone listening is interested in hearing more about the Mars Generation, you can find us at themarsgeneration.org or on social media as the Mars Generation. And you can find me as Astronaut Abby on pretty much all of the different social medias.
Amazing. Thank you so much again for being on. We've loved having you and all your wonderful insights.